evening, which we can come before you and look at for the Holy Spirit's direction and in our lives through your word that you've given to us. Help us as we search the scriptures to understand and apply them to our daily lives. In Christ's name, amen. Proverbs 4, verse 7 and 8, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy wisdom get understanding. Verse 8, exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. Last week, as we studied the Proverbs classes we've been going through, we started up with the three main points that we're going to be studying out of Proverbs. The first one is a mental attitude, which we went into with some depth last Tuesday. The Proverbs give divine viewpoint that develops within us the mind of Christ. Number two, the major point number two is divine norms and standards. And divine norms and standards show us the pattern we are to follow in the Christian way of life. And the Christian walk, the divine standards, and how the norms and standards develop within us a discernment and objectivity, the knowledge of right and wrong. And major point number three, overt activity, the divine viewpoint we establish with the proper mental attitude through the filling of the Holy Spirit and learning divine norms and standards will govern the overt activities in our lives. So last week we talked about in the mental attitude section, having the right mental attitude, which makes it possible for us to develop the mind of Christ through intake of Bible doctrine. The filling of the Holy Spirit is the main function here. If we are to develop the mind of Christ, we have to be enlightened and to take in His Word. If we're outside the power sphere, God can't use us. Through 1 John 1:9, confession of sin places us back into the power sphere, enables us to learn doctrine. Let's look in your Bibles tonight to Proverbs 11, verse 2. Proverbs 11, verse 2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, and with the lowly or humble is wisdom. Pride is a mental attitude sin which will take us out of the power sphere. Humility, the proper mental attitude of the believer, enables us to learn Bible doctrine. Pride equals us relying on ourselves. Humility equals relying on God. If we're all caught up in our self-sufficiency of ourselves and how we can do everything on our own, then we can't. We must rely on God's power in the Christian way of life. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nothing there about doing anything on our own. It's Christ where we gain our strength, as we study the Word, we develop the mind of Christ for discernment and stability. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us through the washing of you'll forgive me. Washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. That's right. Thank you. Okay. God hates pride. Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19 says, six things the Lord doth hate, seven are an abomination to Him, and number one on the list is pride. A proud look the Lord hates. So we'll start in our second study now, divine norms and standards. Let's read Proverbs 11, verse 3. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. first part of the verse, the integrity of the upright shall it guide them. The integrity is discernment and understanding. That's what the goal is here, and it comes from wisdom and knowledge of Bible doctrine. As we learn more divine viewpoint, we develop a frame of reference. We talked about the frame of reference last Tuesday as the computer screen, and as more doctrine we learn, the more options we have, the more we can fill out those icons on the around the computer that we can take and grab those verses and those principles and bring them down to the launching pad, as that the Holy Spirit could take those as we enter into different areas of our life or come up to problems and stuff. We could take those verses or principles and shoot them off to apply to the situation and to glorify God and move forward in a Christian way of life. So we develop this frame of reference so we can discern between divine good and human good, what is real, what is not real. So prior to every decision we make in life, there ought to be an exercise of discernment, a weighing of the alternatives. Only through the knowledge of Bible doctrine can we correctly make proper decisions, as in our prayer life and everything else involved in the Christian way of life. The knowledge of Bible doctrine is what's going to carry the day. It'll give you the what to think, what to pray for, how to pray. King Saul, he had a problem with doing things his own way. He would not wait on the Lord. He knew what he was supposed to do. He was supposed to wait on Samuel and to come and sacrifice, get ready for a battle, and he would get impatient. He would wait for Samuel to come. Samuel didn't show up, so Saul, he decides to do his own sacrifices, and right after he does the sacrifice, Samuel comes walking up the hill. And a lot of times God waits right to the last second just so he'll see what we do. He wants to see if we will faith rest the situation and follow his plan. And King Saul's his being king of Israel was taken away from that one mistake, because he wouldn't wait on the Lord. So prior to every decision we make in life, there ought to be an exercise of discernment, a weighing of the alternatives. Joshua, he would inquire of the Lord each time before he went into battle. This is something that we should do on a consistent basis. That in everything in life, everything you think about doing, you want to do, you need help with, you pray for the Lord for wisdom and guidance. It's inquiring of the Lord, and He'll give you the answers that you need. I mean, I've even used this at work. It's just, Lord, how do I handle this certain situation? And He would just bring the thoughts to your mind that would be the correct answer and stuff. And this is the way you can try to figure it out on your own, but you're just going to cause more problems for yourself. The Lord has all the answers. Use His wisdom. David would inquire of the Lord. Any time you want to be successful in the Christian life, this is the MO that you would use. We would inquire of the Lord for wisdom and discernment. So if we have doctrine in residency and are applying it, we won't be trying to get ahead of God and getting in His way. A lot of times God wants to do things for us, but we get in His way. We keep wanting to go out and try things our own way, and the Lord, He'll be a gentleman. He'll sit back and watch us blow it and make all kinds of lousy decisions. But the proper thing to do is to wait on the Lord, faith rest these decisions, and just give Him the go ahead to make the right decisions. So this is why we come to Bible class. This is why our pastors taught for 40 years, is to we could sit out there and learn the word, make proper decisions in life. That's what he wants us to do. It's what God wants us to do. It's what our pastor wants us to do. Learn the word so we can succeed in the Christian life. And 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is profitable. And it's profitable for doctrine, for teaching. This is why we come here, is to learn God's word. If we're going to have any kind of impact in our Christian life, it's only through the intake of his word and application of it. Continuance for reproof and correction. The word is, as we learn, it's going to straighten us out. It's going to put us on the right path. It's going to just what it says. It's going to correct our actions, our wrong actions, reprove us when we're out of line. And the last part of the verse, instruction in righteousness. All scripture is profitable for instruction in righteousness. Another verse that says it all. The importance of the intake of Bible doctrine can't be overly stressed, because every decision that we make in life, either direct, is going to have some effect on our life, either direct or some kind of a indirect way. And that those decisions are going to have bearing on all the subsequent decisions that we make. When you think about that, and you think about bad decisions we've made, and then the decisions that came after that, or if we would have only made the right decision, how our options would have increased. When I was looking at that and studying it, I started thinking about our life, and how the Christian life is like a wedge, like here. So here we are in our lives, and so if we make decisions that are contrary to God's word and plan, our options decrease in the Christian way of life. So you start going downhill instead of up, and as you continue to make wrong decisions in life, the options continue to decrease. And pretty soon, if you continue to not to rebound and move forward, pretty soon your options, you're going to be right down here where here's a rock and here's you. You're stuck, you're wedged in. And this is the ultimate end for negative volition. But as we make decisions here, you make proper decisions, our options increase. And as every time we make a proper decision, we have a wider range of possibilities, the freedom that the Lord gives us, the stuff, the different options, the more of the word that we learn, the more principles we understand, the more we can apply all the circumstances and details of life to this as we grow in his grace and knowledge. We have this full realm up here with all kinds of options and blessings, and we can just be totally content with God and his plan. The alternative is just right down here. So through the filling of the Holy Spirit and application of divine viewpoint, we will make decisions that will result in blessings in time and blessings in eternity. Blessings in time and blessings in eternity, making the proper decisions. Bad decisions result in divine discipline. Let's read again Proverbs 11, verse 3. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of the transgressors shall destroy them. The second line in Proverbs 11, verse 3, anticipates destruction for the perverse man, the crooked man, the man who's full of lies, the man who's full of human good, false doctrine, etc. He's negative to Bible doctrine. He's unenlightened by the word of God. When it comes down to making a proper decision, the person that's negative to the word, he won't be able to make a proper decision. He can't. He's full of human viewpoint. He'll make decisions based on the trends of his old sin nature. His distorted frame of reference and human viewpoint will divert him from the simple principles found in God's Word. And these simple principles found in God's Word are easily understood by those who operated under a divine viewpoint and have the frame of reference found in the Scriptures. So if we continue on that path, on that wedge that I drew on the board there, we're going to just bring destruction on ourselves. And, you know, we've all seen somebody who has went negative to the Word, how they just spiraled downhill. And, you know, they just hit bottom to where the only place they can look is up. And, you know, sometimes you just can't tell these people anything. They have to just learn it on their own. You know, we don't want to go through life taking all the bumps and the kicks that is there. The Lord, He's going to conform us to His image one way or another. So Proverbs 4 verse 7 says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And that's why we want to study His Word. Major point 3 in our study, overt activity. Proverbs 11 verse 1. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. The picture is a merchant selling goods by weight. In the ancient world, they sold almost everything by weight. And apparently, you know, because man is so corrupt, man has always figured out how to adjust the scales to that scale to that something that's supposed to be 1 pound, and he'll put a popcorn in it or something to make it lighter, some way to hose you when you go to the market, you know. You have to wonder about the scales at Fred Meyer fries or something, how accurate, who checks those things to make sure we're really getting the deal. You know, you pick up an apple or something and it's supposed to be by the pound and it's a half, you know, and you figure, well, that's about a half a pound, you get it on there and, you know, and just wonder how bad, you know, they're hosing you for that. The old gas pumps they used to have back in the 60s, they were the real smart guys. They could adjust the scales to where you would get it would read that you would get a full gallon, but it would only be like 9 1/2 tenths. Well, the proprietor of the gas station, he would be able to, you know, with all the thousands of gallons of gas they sell, that he would be able to make money just because he would be selling less gas than what was actually shown on the pump. How about a bartender that adds water to the whiskey? It's another favorite. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord. God hates this. Now, if Gary in his business starts selling t-shirts that are supposed to be 100% cotton and then he brings in some cheapo brand, you know, how long do you think the Lord's going to bless his business with him doing that, you know, before door number 3 opens up and God's big boot comes out and kicks you in the butt, you know, to wake us up. That's what divine discipline's about, is just to keep, you know, waking us up. Hey, this is not the right way they're going. You know, as Christians, we're supposed to be honest in everything we do, every facet of life. And, you know, and if somebody gives us the, you know, wrong amount of change, they give you too much change for something that you've bought, you know, do you just slide it in your pocket and say, well, I've been screwed so many other times in the store, I'll just take this and make up for it? That's not the... supposed to be honest, right? The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good, the Proverbs say. If we operate our business in the proper way, the Lord will bless your business, one way or the other. Blessing comes in all different kinds of form. It doesn't have to be money. It could be help, all kinds of different prosperities. The humble believer recognizes the source of his blessings anyway. It's not anything that we do that makes us what we are. It's what God does. You've seen all the blessings that have come from the people who are in this church and surrounded, as far as the money that came forward for the church to be paid off, and all the special things that we have, that the money has just appeared for the school and the church. People that they understand where the money came from and who's supplying it, and they're not stingy with it. They'll use their spiritual gift of giving to benefit the body. And they understand the simple principle that you can't outgive God. So these are the three main points that we studied. The first one is that we must conquer the mental attitude problem. This is the basic problem area for believers. And as we learn God's word and taking his doctrine and develop this frame of reference, this is freed up because our mental attitude is right, and we're not involved in all the mental attitude sins because we have started to learn what these sins are and we can recognize them. As these sins are cleansed, then Bible doctrine can act as the frame of reference for discernment. These decisions will result overtly in newer and better actions for the believers. The constant repetitions of these actions is what keeps us in balance as we live the Christian way of life. So now I want to go into a different part of the study of Proverbs. It's kind of a technical area. It's not very technical, but it's what the Proverbs are made up of. Little two-line poems. They're called distichs. I asked everybody in the car on the way to the deacon's retreat if everybody knew what an antithetical distich was. And everybody knew except for me, and I was the one who was studying it. So, had to hit the books again. Anyway, a distich is a German word meaning two-line poem. The majority of the Proverbs are made up of these. And there are six different types of distichs. And we'll go through the six, real fast just to get them down on paper. And then we'll go back and we'll study these in a little more detail. The first one is a synonymous distich. Proverbs 11, verse 25. Turn there, please. Proverbs 11, 25. The synonymous distich. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. The structure of this verse, in the first line, doctrine given, and the second line, doctrine repeated. First line, doctrine given. Second line, doctrine repeated. The second kind of distich is the antithetical distich. Let's look at Proverbs 14:30. We'll just kind of be turned into these so you can look at the verse and get an idea of what's going on here. Proverbs 14, verse 30. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. The structure here, first line, positive doctrine given. Second line, negative doctrine given. Number three, the synthetic distich. Turn to Proverbs 10, verse 18. Verse 18. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. Structure. Line 1, first doctrine on subject. Line 2, the second doctrine on subject. Number 4, integral distich. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Structure, line 1, doctrine begun. Line 2, doctrine completed. Number 5, parabolic distich. Proverbs 11, verse 22. 11, verse 22. As a jewel of gold and a swine's snout, so is a fair woman who is without discretion. Structure. Line 1, illustration of life. Line 2, analogous doctrine. Illustration of life and analogous doctrine. Number 6, comparative distich. Proverbs 15, verse 17. 15, verse 17. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox with hatred therewith. Structure of line 1, better than doctrine. Line number 2, comparative fact of life. Better than doctrine, comparative fact of life. So let's go back to the first one, the synonymous distich. This is the simplest kind of distich, a two-line poem where each line means the same thing. Proverbs 11:25. The first line gives the doctrine, the second line repeats it. The method of teaching here is based on repetition. The liberal soul is generous, not selfish in his giving and his sharing of what he has. The liberal soul is a person who is generous, not selfish in his giving or sharing of what he has. Shall be made fat is a Hebrew idiom for wealth. The man who gives liberally will receive blessings liberally, the idea. The man in the second line is also a wealthy man. He that watereth indicates a man willing to share his surplus water with others so they can irrigate their land also. In return for his generosity, this man will prosper as he finds himself surrounded with prosperity. If you don't share your water, not that you have to share your water, but this man does share his water because as he has this overabundance of water in his well, then he has other landowners around him that could use his water. As he shares his water with them, as they plant their crops and grow their crops and stuff, he'll see himself surrounded by prosperity. It's the basic principle of economics. And this proverb can be applied in so many other different ways. business concerns. The benefits are reaped by just not a few, but by many. And this is where we'll stop, and we'll study next week the antithetical distich. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your written word. You've given us to study and learn and apply to our lives. We pray now that we would take the doctrine that is in your word and that the Holy Spirit will guide us in it. And we pray now that you would guide us safely from here back to our homes. In Christ's name, amen. Don't forget to pick up your memory verses as you go out and your coins.